This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This was our first election with Wisconsin's new maps, and experts say they made a difference. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Although Republicans still have the upper hand, their supermajority is quashed, and Democrats made some key gains in the Wisconsin legislature, which they believe puts them in a better position to gain chamber control in 2026. Political scientist David Helpap with the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay says this lays the groundwork for changes in future policy proposals.
As districts become more competitive, it makes it more difficult for those who are elected officials in those districts to really propose policies that are too far left or right of center, simply because they know they're going to have to answer to voters that are more center than they used to be.
He says the new legislative maps leveled the playing field for legislators in a way that Wisconsin hasn't seen in more than a decade. Until Governor Tony Evers came into office, Republicans had free rein in choosing which policies to push forward, Helpap adds. But Evers changed that dynamic overall, most recently with the new legislative maps. One of the biggest upcoming policy issues is the next state budget. From K through 12 education to funding local government, the UW system, and corrections, Helpap says that's where Wisconsinites could see the impact of these changes the most, and the dynamic will be different.
There's no doubt that Republicans still have the majority and they can sort of proceed in that fashion. But I think perhaps some folks will be thinking about the next election cycle and maybe the implications of specific decisions that they'll be making during this budget process.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
It's Packers and Bears week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice getting ready for the Bears in Chicago Sunday. Even though the Packers have beat the Bears 10 times in a row, I asked Jordan Love if there's still a rivalry.
Definitely. No, we know the history of the game, and it's definitely, you know, I think it's special to be a part of it. A rivalry that's been going on, the oldest rivalry in football.
In Chicago, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus fired his offensive coordinator.
In the past 48 hours, working through some things and obviously released Shane Waldron. What I'm looking for the offense is creativity, working the guys into open positions on the field. But that takes creativity, but it takes everybody.
Pass coordinator Thomas Brown promoted to offensive play caller. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-120 win in overtime against the Pistons. Damian Lillard out with a concussion. Giannis with 59 points.
Not only did Giannis have to score, he actually had to be a point guard as well.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes. And just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. The day we have been pursuing all week is finally here, Thursday. It is Thursday night in the great state of Wisconsin, wherever you are joining us from. Welcome to the show. We've got a lot of fun planned tonight, whether you're joining us via the app, old school on the radio, or on the stream. It's just great to have you with us. So hopefully we can warm up and dry up your night a little bit. Kind of a crummy night and day, at least in northeast Wisconsin. Conrad, what was the weather like over at your apartment today?
Rainy.
Really? 75 and sunny at my house, buddy.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah, well, swing by anytime. Yeah, it was pretty brutal today. Kind of a, but you know what? It's still warm. I can't even complain. It was a gorgeous day. So a lot of guests to get to tonight, folks. A lot of fun on the show. It's good that you're here because we're going to cover a lot of topics. Our old pal Mike Clemens is going to join us in about not even maybe 10 minutes. We're bringing Mike on early because that's when he was available. And we're excited to have him back on the show. He hasn't been on in a couple months. He's going to talk Bears-Packers. Big weekend coming up. Conrad, did you know the Bears and the Packers play this weekend? Okay. Good. I just wanted to make sure. So we'll talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of sports with Mike. And then we've got Shannon Simon. It's our popcorn pick of the week tonight, folks. At 6:35, Shannon Simon, the marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream, will be here. Ice cream, a pretty darn good snack, too, for movie and TV watching. But Shannon will join us and make a popcorn pick of the week. And then at 7:05, we've had some really good guests lately from the Wisconsin Historical Society. And tonight we have another one. Susan Kaya Schlusser is here tonight. She's going to tell us about some Victorian homes and how some offerings of the Wisconsin Historical Society in the southwest part of the state. There's the Villa Louis. I hope I'm saying that right. It's either the Villa Louis or the Villa Louis, a National Historic Landmark home on the southwest part of the state, on the Mississippi River, and kind of how they celebrate holiday festivities. And Susan is going to tell us all about what they have to offer this time of year and give us a little bit of an education on the Victorian Christmases of days long ago. So we'll have a little trip down memory lane and something, if you're looking for something to do around the holidays, that's a great activity too. It sounds like they really do it upright, just like the Wisconsin Historical Society does so much. They really put a lot of effort into their events, and it just sounds like a blast. And then filmmaker Nathan Deming will be here at 7:35 to talk about his film February, which is playing at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards this weekend. Nathan has been on the show before. He's an up-and-coming filmmaker, and I absolutely love his stuff. He's a really, really talented filmmaker. So he will join us at 7:35. So that's a lot of show. You know, I kind of went back and forth today, too, on the question, ladies and gentlemen. But I think we're going to go with something very basic. Opening next week, November 22nd, kicking off the holiday box office season with not necessarily holiday films, but two films that are being called sort of Barbenheimer 2.0, Barbenheimer Light, whatever, Wicked and Gladiator 2, also known as Glicked. And I don't know if Matt Miller coined that phrase on the show last week for the first time or if he got it somewhere else, but I wanted a footnote. So the question tonight is, what film are you more excited to see? If not in theaters, waiting for it to come to streaming. What are you most excited to see, Wicked or Gladiator 2? They're both reviewing very well. And Wicked is like crushing. The early buzz from the critics is incredible. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Gladiator 2 has a very good buzz too. I don't even know what film I'm more excited to see, to be honest. Probably my inclination is more that I'd be interested in Gladiator 2 because I like the first one so much. I love Denzel Washington. Paul Mescal seems like a really good actor, a good cast for this role. However, I have never seen Wicked. I have not seen the Broadway show. My daughter, I've heard her sing songs from it in competition. The music is beautiful. But due to the buzz alone, I'm going to buck my own trend, and I'm going to say Wicked because it is supposed to be an absolute spectacle. So I am looking more forward to seeing Wicked than Gladiator 2. It's close, but I'm going with Wicked. So what say you? What are you more excited to see on Glicked Barbenheimer 2.0 Light weekend, which is next weekend? Gladiator 2 or Wicked? I say Wicked. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, I think we need you to weigh in.
I'm actually really excited to see Wicked.
Really? Okay.
Because, like, I seen the first Gladiator. I know the story. But it's nice to, like you, I haven't seen any Broadway plays of it. So I'm excited to see a new story.
It's really interesting you say that because that's kind of what got me to lean toward Wicked. And I meant to say this in my choice. I kind of have a sense of Gladiator. I kind of know what I'm getting. And I'm sure it'll be good. But I'm really excited to see a film that critics like 100% are raving about so far. And there's no reviews up yet. But there is a buzz. So I'm excited. So let us know what you think, folks. Always more fun when you guys weigh in. You can text us on the app. You can go old school at 855-752-4842 or text us on the stream. We're on Facebook, Twitter. What else, Conrad? What am I missing? YouTube?
Yes, we are on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, WISS and WGBW. YouTube, we're under WGBW or Civic Media. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
Reach out any way you can, folks, but just reach out. We got a lot of show tonight. As I mentioned, Mike Clemens will be joining us very shortly. Let me know when we have Mike Conrad. I think he'll be, I'm very excited to talk to Mike. And there is a big weekend. So we're going to start, I think tomorrow night, our question, we'll do like a Bears-Packers thing. That could be fun.
Packers.
But for tonight, really, Conrad's picking the Packers. Well, if you've watched the Bears play the last 3 weeks, you have to be crazy not to.
Yeah.
Like if I was a betting man, it's not even close. But we'll ask Mike what he thinks. That'll be fun. But it is a big weekend. So we'll get your picks tomorrow night because I think this is – we do sports every once in a while, and this is like a fun weekend in the NFL. I think even – most people are fans that live in Green Bay or even Chicago, but, you know, this game is a little different. There's history. There's all kinds of nostalgia with these two teams. And we'll talk about that with Mike, who joins us now. Is it true that Mike Clemens is on the phone, Conrad?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mike, how are you?
Hi, Pete. How are you, man?
I am doing much better now that I hear your voice, buddy. It's great to have you back on the show.
You're talking about the history and the nostalgia of over 100 years between the Bears and the Packers. I think it goes back to 1921. And when Matt LaFleur first got here, already now 6 years ago, you remember it was like the Bears had that big buildup. Oh, this is the 100th year of the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
And there was all this hype, and it was in prime time. And Aaron Rodgers and company beat them in a low-scoring game, like a defensive game, like 10-3 or something like that. But it was Matt LaFleur's first game as the new head coach, and you know they went into Soldier Field and beat the Bears. And back then, or for the first 2 or 3 years, you'd say to LaFleur, "Hey, you know, you're playing the Bears this week. You're playing the Vikings. You know, any rivalry stuff?" And he didn't want to hear about it. It's the next game. We're focusing only on this game. We're not talking about the schedule later this week. It's just we got to win this game and this game only, and this is all we're focusing on. And there's he wasn't big on, like, he moved a lot of the historic photos of Favre and Starr and those guys in the hallway. He moved them out in the to where the fans could see them when they take the stadium tour, because they'd spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in these things. And it's more about now and this team right now. Yet, last night, maybe it sunk in a little bit. He had them produce a video of that. I mean, apparently they were showing clips of guys in leather helmets, you know, in black and white, running in the mud.
Wow.
Just a couple of minutes, but just to give these, you know, 23-year-olds that, I mean, they probably got a sense that Bears Packers is a big deal, but to know that, you know, this is like for the ages. Like, when you play in these games, if, you know, if there's things that happen a certain way, the fans from both Chicago and Wisconsin are going to be talking about this for decades. And I think that was a nice touch. But biggest thing I'm concerned about is any, you know, the Packers are coming off their bye week.
Yeah.
And you know, some of these guys get on planes and go to Cabo for 3 or 4 days. they enjoy nice weather, like you did today.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they get back, and what happens? The team's just a little flat, right?
Right.
It's not quite there. So I was talking to LaFleur today about that, and he says, as a matter of fact, though, we had two of our best practices of the season, and they changed some things up. They, instead of having sort of a scripted practice where sort of the defense knows, oh, if it's play number 13 and we're going to have this defense, we're going to – no, they took the script and threw it aside, and they just – they had a like a game today at practice. They call it good on good, the ones against the ones.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, they had to react. And there was a lot of energy to it. Jeff Hafley, the defense coordinator, we just talked to him about an hour ago. He said, it was great for my guys, man. I mean, it got them back 100% because they had to go by their rules. They had to go by, you know, the lessons they've learned, just like in a game-like condition.
Mike, you know, the Bears have been so bad for the most part. And now they look like they're off to a good start. Now they're 4-5. Is the rivalry not what it should be when one of the teams is so bad, like the Bears have been for so long? Is there another team in the North that the Packers have their sights on more, that fans get more excited about, like Detroit or Minnesota? Or is this still the rivalry it always was?
Some people say that. Some athletes, former athletes say that. Some commentators, you know, that, hey, you know, rivalry is when you've got two really good teams. Like, yeah, back in the day when it was Peyton Manning and the Colts against Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? And that, you know, this game meant more than just a rivalry between two franchises. It was like, this is a game that you're going to be looking back on when it gets to the postseason and who's going to get to the Super Bowl this year. I think it's different, though. I mean, at the end of the day, this is supposed to be about the fans.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when the Bears were great and I was starting out, when you had the 85 Bears and Mike Ditka and that group down there and Jim McMahon and the Packers, they had Lynn Dickey, they had James Lofton, then they went away, and they seemed to be better on defense, but they were struggling at quarterback, like Randy Wright and Jim Zorn and these guys, to somehow hang on and beat the Bears. Like when Don Majkowski had that rolled out and threw that touchdown to beat the Bears, that was huge. So I don't think both teams, if the Bears win this thing, I mean,
Mike, about to get cut off. Can we pick up right there after a very quick break?
You bet.
So much, buddy. Okay, Mike Clemens is here.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
Matt Nair on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Welcome back. We are talking filmmaking tonight. It's our popcorn pick of the week in just a few minutes at 6:35. And then with Susan Kaya Schlusser from the Wisconsin Historical Society at 7:05. Right now, we've got our pal Mike Clemens on the line. We're talking about the Bears and the Packers rivalry. Mike, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there. Our breaks here are pretty abrupt. And the computer takes over. But you were saying how the great thing about the rivalry is when a team isn't that good but still manages to steal a win from time to time.
Yeah, think of Don Majkowski with that famous was he or was he not over the line, but, you know, the touchdown to go ahead and beat the Bears back then. You know, Ditka and a team that had, you know, won a Super Bowl and was going to the playoffs every year. I think, you know, the rivalry will be alive. But, you know, here's what's going on. When Aaron Rodgers 3 years ago ran into the south end zone and even the women were flipping him off at Soldier Field, yeah. That's what he said. He said, you know, what made me say that, what got me so mad when I started yelling at Bears fans in the south end zone down there at Soldier Field when I said, I own you. I blanking own you. He's right. The Packers have beat the Bears 10 times in a row, Pete.
That's insane.
10 times in a row. Matt LaFleur's never lost to the Chicago Bears.
Oh,
matter
wow.
Of fact, it's the longest current streak in the NFL between two, you know, teams like this in this relationship. And the last time this happened was 1994 to 1998 when Favre and Holmgren and Reggie and those guys were in charge. They beat the Bears there in the 90s from 94 to 98, 10 games in a row. So this would be a new franchise record, a new record, you know, in the 100-year history between the Bears if Jordan Love and company can get a W this coming Sunday at noon at Soldier Field. So that makes that very exciting.
How is Jordan Love 100%, would you say, Mike?
First time yesterday that he was full participation in practice. So that's an indication that, you know, he's doing better and coming along. And, you know, we'll find out for sure when we watch him out there run around in the slop at Soldier Field. Might be a little rainy.
Yeah.
Might be some shy. It might be kind of like it was at least here in Green Bay today, kind of gray and cloudy and a scattered shower. So there's a running back there excited that they used out of USC, this Marshawn Lloyd, speedy back. He was injured during much of training camp, and then he was out there week 2. Then he injured his ankle. He's now coming off of injured reserve with that. But it's questionable whether or not he'll be 100% to give it a go this first time. But, you know, we just talked to Adam Stenovich, offensive coordinator. He's a speedy young rookie running back that they're excited to see if they can get him on the field and see what he can do for them.
Mike, let's turn to the Badgers quick. They play Oregon this weekend. And I had these high hopes a couple weeks ago that if the Badgers could knock off Penn State and Oregon, they belong in the conversation for the playoff. That's not going to happen. But what's your update or your status? What are your thoughts on the Badgers right now, where they're at?
I think Penn State came into Camp Randall ranked number third. And, you know,
correct,
the Badgers stuck with them for like three and a half quarters or so until they shot themselves in the foot and all that. But, you know, Oregon, they're number one. They're 14-point favorites into this game. They beat Maryland in their last game, 39-18. And the thing that was really such a punch to the gut of the Badgers program and Luke Fickell's program is losing to the Hawkeyes before their bye, 42-10. I mean, the Hawkeyes beat them on every level of that game, on the offensive line, on the defensive line. It was a horrible, horrible performance against a very solid Iowa Hawkeyes team. And so now Luke Fickell comes back from the bye trying to reinvent that. Then there's the Jack Del Rio story. The former NFL head coach of the Raiders and then the Jaguars before that,
yeah,
was brought on as a defensive consultant. He's a former NFL linebacker back in the
90s. Yeah.
And he gets pulled over for a DUI. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine called me on my way up. He says, you know this Jack Del Rio? I says, oh, yeah. Yeah, they talked about it in a press conference on Wednesday. They had to let him go. He said, my son just got the job with Madison Police. He was the arresting officer.
That's great.
There's some things I can't talk. It's a small world. But anyway, yeah, Jack screwed
ouch
up big time.
Oh,
out
I would
staggering
say
staggering
so
on the street, you know, and the lights flashing on the car. It's dangerous. Bad news, man. Yeah, but, yeah, you know, he's got troubles.
Ouch. Where are you at with the Badgers' progress under Fickell, Mike? I wasn't expecting him to change the world overnight. I did think they'd be a little more competitive this year, though.
He's got to find some kind of plan or identity. He came on with the air raid. Yes, you know, he lost Van Dyke at his quarterback of choice. Yeah. But it's, you know, the one red flag that came up to me was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and they had used as many as 4 or 5 different running backs in the same game. And after looking at the tape and that loss, Fickell said, you know, one thing is, we can't run 4 or 5 running backs. We've got to get that down to 1 or 2. And that's when they moved on with, you know, Tyree Walker. But they need focus. They need some kind of focus rather than, well, let's sort of try 8 or 9 of these different guys and see if we can come up with something. They don't have a focus. They don't and go-to guys. And therefore, that's why that offense doesn't seem to have an identity.
Yeah, great point. We have about a minute and a half left, Mike. What is going on with the Bucks? They won last night, but they're pretty bad start.
It looks like roster. And I know that Chris Middleton is out continuously with these after double ankle surgery.
Yeah.
But they brought in a bunch of new guys that are scattered and are lost. And frankly, you know, Giannis and Dame, and sometimes they're looking at each other as the ball is rolling across the court. And the Celtics, the defending champs, are chasing it and getting it back. But I love that with the play that they had last night, there was like a second left in the game and a timeout, and the Pistons were gonna inbound it. And they used one of the assistants, they showed this on the FanDuel Network. I thought it was great coverage. They showed a play where the Pistons were in the same situation the night before. And so this coach said, hey, maybe this is the play they're going to use to inbound because it's the same spot in the court. That's the play they used. This guy showed, you know, Giannis and the team during their timeout, this is a play they might use. And, you know, Giannis was able to block it, and they were able to win that inbound. So, they're turning things around like that, but I don't know if they got enough oomph on that roster right now.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much as always, buddy. I hope we can do this more often. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Bear Packer weekend, and keep up the outstanding work, my friend.
You too, Pete. This show is so fun and entertaining to listen to. I listen to it in the car every night.
I love knowing that. Chime in anytime, buddy.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Clemens, one of the best in the biz. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it is our popcorn pick of the week, and I'm going to read some of your texts. What are you looking most forward to seeing on Glicked Weekend next weekend. Gladiator 2 or Wicked? I say Wicked, as does Conrad. We'll read your text and do the ice cream popcorn pick of the week next on Nightlight with Peach Papa. Coming right back.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This was our first election with Wisconsin's new maps, and experts say they made a difference. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Although Republicans still have the upper hand, their supermajority is quashed, and Democrats made some key gains in the Wisconsin legislature, which they believe puts them in a better position to gain chamber control in 2026. Political scientist David Helpap with the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay says this lays the groundwork for changes in future policy proposals.
As districts become more competitive, it makes it more difficult for those who are elected officials in those districts to really propose policies that are too far left or right of center, simply because they know they're going to have to answer to voters that are more center than they used to be.
He says the new legislative maps leveled the playing field for legislators in a way that Wisconsin hasn't seen in more than a decade. Until Governor Tony Evers came into office, Republicans had free rein in choosing which policies to push forward, Helpap adds. But Evers changed that dynamic overall, most recently with the new legislative maps. One of the biggest upcoming policy issues is the next state budget. From K through 12 education to funding local government, the UW system, and corrections, Helpap says that's where Wisconsinites could see the impact of these changes the most, and the dynamic will be different.
There's no doubt that Republicans still have the majority and they can sort of proceed in that fashion. But I think perhaps some folks will be thinking about the next election cycle and maybe the implications of specific decisions that they'll be making during this budget process.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When it comes to films opening wide this weekend, it's a bit quiet, sort of like the calm before the storm. All eyes are on next week's openers, which will showcase Barbenheimer 2.0 or Glicked, which is Wicked, and Gladiator 2. But there is one film opening wide this week, and it follows a new trend of badass Santa movies. Red One stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, and the awesome Bonnie Hunt. Johnson plays the head of security at the North Pole and teams up with bounty hunter Evans to find Santa Claus, who has been kidnapped. It's usually an inside job. The first suspect would be Mrs. Claus. Red One is getting less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't let that stop you. It looks like pure holiday fun, and at PG-13, it's fun for the whole family. The Bruce Willis film, The Fifth Element, is getting a re-release this weekend, but in a limited capacity. The film is from 1997 and also stars Ian Holm, Gary Oldman, and Chris Tucker. If you feel like staying home, new movies to stream include Megalopolis, Saturday Night, or Michael Keaton's Goodrich. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same.
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So great to talk to Mike Clemens. And it's so great to make our Popcorn Pick of the Week. We do every Thursday. We have a guest on who gives us a movie pick after we discuss movie snacks and movies and TV and all that kind of fun stuff. And tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight the marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream. Shannon Simon is here to help us make our pick tonight. Shannon, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. And welcome to Nightlight. It's great to have you here. Where are you located in our state?
So Cedar Crest is located in Cedarburg. That's where we have our distribution area.
Okay.
But we also have our plant up in Manitowoc.
Okay. Where do you work out? Do you kind of go back and forth?
Yep. I go back and forth, but I mainly stay in the Cedarburg area.
Okay. How did you end up in the ice cream game?
And you know, it was one of those times where I recently left the position, also another marketing area, and they were currently hiring for this position. So it was kind of, you know, one door out of the one and then into another one.
So it's not like it's been your lifelong dream to be in this racket, but I assume it's kind of fun to work with a tasty treat like ice cream.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Me and my family moved to West Bend. And that's kind of when we started making changes. And, you know, Cedarburg being just 15, 20 minutes away, it's been great having that, you know, short commute. And then also every now and then I'll go up to the Manitowoc parlor and, you know, work with them on what ideas that we have available.
That's so fun. So what do you have a favorite ice cream flavor?
I do. My favorite is the Wisconsin Campfire S'mores.
Oh, wow.
And then before that, or actually that was my long-term favorite, but then just recently this past year, I'm a huge fan of Paul Bunyan, which was our last 4-H winning flavor of last year.
Okay. What's in that? What's in the Paul Bunyan?
That is a vanilla bean ice cream with a maple swirl. And then I love how when the kids pitched this, they said it was chocolate covered pretzel logs and Butterfinger sawdust. So the way that they sold that really kind of puts you in that whole lumberjack vibes. It got you up in the North Woods where you're like, yeah, this is Wisconsin. You know, we got to celebrate our lodging industry.
The Paul Bunyan flavor doesn't have a hint of a blue ox odor to it or anything like that.
No
tomfoolery going on there. Okay. I was just looking at your webpage here, and this caught my attention. I got to be honest. I used to freak out at custard because I only saw custard in donuts, and I thought it looked kind of gross. So the idea of frozen custard, I thought that's what I was getting. Custard, as it turns out, is basically ice cream, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely delicious. And I see this this flavor you have here, love peanut butter. Peanut butter flavored custard with a rich fudge ribbon and fudge chunks. How good does that sound?
I haven't tried that particular one.
Okay.
I tried the strawberry cheesecake, and that one is delicious.
How about this one? How about banana split? All wrapped together. You're not a banana person?
I'm not a banana person. So, you know, if you love banana, that might be awesome. I've stayed clear of it so far, but you know what? It's going to be one of those days where I'm up at the parlor. I'm going to try every flavor that they have offering.
Okay. Conrad, where are you at with the banana split ice cream?
I think it's, I love banana split. So,
you like an actual banana split?
Go. So, I got to imagine I'd like the ice cream.
I would think so. I would imagine. And then here's one. You got two, Shannon. Black walnut. That sounds delicious.
I haven't had that one either.
Okay.
But
that's okay. I don't expect you to go around with
the maple ice cream. I haven't had everything yet. Just, you know, I'm slowly enjoying my way.
All right. Give me your top three so far Cedar Crest ice cream flavors.
All right. So my number one is still the Wisconsin Campfire S'mores. Okay. And that's mostly because of that marshmallow fluff swirl in there. I do like the watermelon sherbet. It's a Ooh. Great summer one. I just recently opened that pint the other night and I was like, oh, this is delicious. And I'm, you know, yeah. I wish it was 80 degrees out still, but
turn up the heat in the house and wolf it down.
And you know what? I have one of those classic favorites as the chocolate chip cookie dough.
Okay. Do you make I assume you do, but I don't want to make assumptions, a peanut butter chocolate. That's one I can't ever say no to, regardless of whether it's frozen yogurt, custard, ice cream, whatever. Does Cedar Crest have that flavor?
We have a variety of peanut butter and chocolate. So I think one of them is one of our Mackinac flavors with like peanut butter and fudge.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a peanut butter extreme. So if you really love peanut butter, I want to say that one's a peanut butter ice cream with peanut butter chunks and then like a chocolate swirl.
What is extreme? That kind of scares me a little bit. I feel like I'm going to smell like peanut butter for 5 days. But everything's extreme. There's extreme Doritos. I can't handle the intensity. But what is the peanut butter extreme? Is that just crazy amounts of peanut butter?
Pretty much. I think I'd have to look that one up. But I want to say it's definitely a peanut butter ice cream with peanut butter chunks or your peanut butter cups and then a chocolate swirl in there.
All right. Here I have two favorites of Cedar Crest I'm looking at right now, and I could easily see myself in Flavor Country watching my favorite TV show with After Dinner Mint, which looks like little bits of mint candy in it. Looks delicious. And then I don't even know what's in this. It's a little overwhelming, but Big Muddy.
Big Muddy. That actually is one of our other 4-H flavor contestant winners. I can't say what year. Put the book here. That's dark chocolate ice cream with a caramel swirl and brownie pieces.
So that what does 4-H have to do with this? What gives them the authority?
Well, we are trying to give back to the culture. I mean,
I'm just giving you a hard time.
We like to look at different ideas. So we thought, you know, why don't we let these these groups of kids that, you know, are going to be the future leaders, heavy in the agriculture, very, very close to the animals and the farm life. Let's give them a chance to name some flavors and be as creative as they want. Give us some weird combinations, give them some, super creative combinations.
Yeah.
And so that's why we started hosting our flavor contest, because, the same people, you're eventually going to run out of ideas. You know, it's always like us five all the time. We need fresh minds. We need fresh, new ideas. And, they're out in the world actually eating candy probably 24/7. Right. So they know what's new out there.
Right. You could trust their taste buds, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Correct.
I love this, too. This looks like blueberry waffle cone. I want to jump through my computer right now and mow this whole experience. What, Shannon, let me ask you, when you sit down at home to do some serious binge watching of color television or a movie you've been looking forward to, what kind of ice cream would that affect your ice cream choice based on, like, if you're going to watch true crime or rom-com or something like that?
Nope. I usually go with the ones that's, I already opened in the top freezer. Very rarely I'd be like, this is a downstairs freezer chest ice cream I have to go and look for. I like to eat just one thing at a time, finish it off, and then go to the next one.
Okay. Very good. All right. And how do you guys find new flavors, and how do we get involved in the taste testing committee? Conrad and I would love a nice big bowl of ice cream right about now.
Oh, sure. I could always bring samples up.
Can you be here by 8?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
So right now we are closing our flavor contest with the 4-H committee. Me and, the owners, the Colway family, we will review all the ideas, and then we'll pick probably our definitely top favorites. And then we will go and source to make sure that we can get those ingredients. So, sometimes we are at the mercy of our suppliers, since we do have to get, quality ingredients. We have to get so much of it in bulk in order to make, ice cream for the summer. I believe that we make about 1,500 gallons of the particular 4-H flavor for that month of June that's available. So we just got to make sure we get enough, you know, ingredients, we get the right ingredients, we get good ingredients. Then we do some taste testing. And, you know, that kind of narrows down where we're going to decide. Does it need more cherries? Does it need more of a, you know, a base vanilla? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, the toppings can actually overpower the original base. And of course, if it has, if it has to freeze really well. So sometimes, you know, after you freeze it, the flavor could disappear. So we do a lot of that testing before we make our final decision on the winner.
This is like scientific almost. I'm picturing people in lab coats, like eating ice cream. Because I got to be honest, I made ice cream at home once about 20 years ago, and it was absolutely terrible. So I know that a lot goes into this, and I tip my hat to Cedar Crest. I have to ask you, okay, and not to demean what you do or anything, because marketing is tough. However, is it easier or more difficult to market a product everybody already loves?
Well, like you said, it sells itself.
Yeah.
And I just go around and remind people that it exists.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, people already lose their minds over ice cream. It seems like you wouldn't have to do much.
So many options out there now, though. You know, you got, you know, six different brands in the freezer section. You know, some people shop based on price, which I used to be one of those people. And now that I realize that Cedar Crest has so much more to offer, that's my go-to.
All right. I don't claim to be an expert, but I'm going to give you a little bit of advice tonight. Ditch the 4-H and hire me. I will test everything you have. Conrad and I will come down there. We'll rent a van, and you can stock it up with ice cream, and we'll just go in the back with a spoon and go to town. How does that sound?
Well, you better pace yourself.
All right. That's good advice. Do you get a discount?
I do.
Nice. What are we looking at?
I believe the employees get maybe like a 10%, not too much.
Jeez, that's kind of, I think you get a little more. You want me to make a
phone
call?
I also have to buy it at, you either have to buy it at the Cedarbrook office, or you buy it at the Manitowoc office as well.
Okay.
So I can't go to like Target and be like, hey, you know, I work here. I get a discount on this.
You don't want to be going into Target and pulling rank. That's right. Not cool. All right. So it is that time of the interview, Shannon. And thank you. You're a great sport. Thank you for your time tonight. I hope we didn't scare you off, and I hope you'll come back again sometime to talk about your absolutely amazing ice cream. I do buy it in the little pint, because that's like, because if I do that, I know I won't eat too much. If I buy a gallon of ice cream on one of my cheat days, exactly, it's gone. So I like that Cedar Crest has like the perfect size for me. Anyway, I don't know, Conrad, what do you, what kind of ice cream?
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, you gotta, right? You can't go crazy.
Yeah, I will say, I like bubble gum, and I saw that one on there.
Ooh.
I love bubblegum ice cream.
Is that a good one?
So Shannon? I might go and buy that later.
Okay.
All right. So for you to like bubblegum ice cream, do you eat the gum pieces? Do you like accumulate them in your mouth and chew on them?
Good question.
Because that was one of those that, you know, we constantly get asked, you know, why don't you have this in retail? Why don't you have them in retail? And I'm like, well, are you going to eat bubblegum when you get home?
Interesting.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, in the past, I just, you know, kind of spit out the after, but yeah.
So do you like just the bubblegum flavored ice cream?
Yes.
Or do you have to have that bubblegum pieces in there?
No, I don't have to have the bubblegum pieces in there. I just like the flavor.
Just like the flavor. Oh, keep
that
in mind.
That's good. Something to ponder. Okay.
Right.
Very well done. All right. This is excellent. All right. So Shannon, give us your popcorn pick, or in this case, ice cream pick of the week for a movie. What are you picking?
Like any movie?
It could be a classic. It could be something you're expecting to see soon, or holiday film, something you're going to do with your kids, or your all-time favorite. We need a recommendation here to eat ice cream too.
To eat ice cream too. You know what? Since it's being the holiday season, I am all about Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit.
Wow,
you could pick either of those series.
Okay. That's a whole series recommendation. You gave us a lot of bang for our buck, not just one movie. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work. It was great to meet you, and I hope we get to do this again. And you made us want to eat ice cream, so I think you crushed your job tonight.
I'll make sure I'll bring some samples next time.
Please do. You're welcome anytime. All right, Shannon Simon, thanks so much. That's our popcorn pick of the week. Anything with The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
I know you're a fan, right?
Actually, no, that was the one series that I was like, I haven't.
Oh, that's right. You're not a fan.
My dad is. My dad is.
Oh, Steve likes it. That's right. All right. I got to check those out. I still haven't seen them either. All right, we're going to read some texts coming when we come back. Our question tonight is Gladiator 2 or Wicked? What are you most looking forward to seeing on Barbenheimer 2.0 or Glicked Weekend, which is next weekend? This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Coming up at 7:35, filmmaker Nathan Deming will be joining me to discuss his film February. Nathan is a Wisconsin native, I believe grew up in the Eau Claire area, and a really, really talented filmmaker. So he will be here in at the bottom of the hour. And then Susan Kaya Slusser will be here from the Wisconsin Historical Society to discuss some of the things they have going on in Southwest Wisconsin with their Victorian, it's called, I think it was the Dousman family, but we'll hear all about this from Susan. I don't want to try to, I'm going to have her explain it, but she is, she's going to be a fun guest. And they've brought us some really cool guests, Rebecca at the Wisconsin Historical Society. And it's fun to learn about our state's history. So often people from their organization come on and I had no idea like that these people lived in Wisconsin or that they were part of the history or the fabric of our past. It's so cool to talk to people from the Historical Society. And tonight's question is, what are you most looking forward to next weekend? It is a big weekend at the theaters, folks. Barbenheimer 2.0, or Glicked, as it is being called. Two huge releases next week, Gladiator 2 and Wicked. So the question tonight is, what movie release are you of those two, are you most looking forward to, Wicked or Gladiator 2? I say Wicked. Conrad actually says Wicked. And it's, you know what? I think it is, Conrad. It's just, I was like, I loved Gladiator. I really did. I thought it was great. And it's kind of like what you said before. I'm really looking forward to this one too, but I kind of feel like I know the story will be different, but not enough that's making me look more forward to it than something that is a spectacle like Wicked is supposed to be. So that will be fun. But I was a little surprised you chose Wicked. Your dress kind of, you got like, you look like a burly lumberjack there in that.
It's warm.
It is. And you're under the weather. So it's good that you it, core temperature down.
You know, so yesterday
But wait, did you just cut down a tree before you came into the studio today? I just am curious.
Honestly, I did.
You chopped your way to the studio.
But it fell on my roof, and now it's a mess.
All right. you can stay here tonight.
So I'm actually really excited for that Christmas movie, that Miller's Crossing, I believe it is. Christmas time.
Miller's Point.
Miller's Point, yeah. That's it. I didn't see the trailer before, but yesterday I saw it, and I thought it looked great.
That's the one with Michael Cera, right?
Yeah.
I want to see that, too. I'm excited to see that. Here's a couple new texts from the 920. Wicked all the way. I didn't even know they were making a Gladiator sequel. I'm tired of sequels. Kind of with you, 920. I have a feeling the Gladiator one, it's getting good buzz. I think it'll be good. Denzel Washington's in it. I'm very excited to see it, but I'm kind of with you on the sequels thing. Make some original, creative new projects. You've got access to them. There are scripts sitting on shelves in Hollywood studios, and I know because some of them are mine. And they don't make them. They'd rather do a sequel or a remake or a reboot or a re-something, but I am totally with you, 920. Bridget from the 818 says, Gladiator, I'm in the mood for a big action drama on the big screen. I certainly will see Wicked 2. Very diplomatic answer. Bridget, thank you so much. Bridget's texted, I think, every night this week so far. Every night's a Thursday to Bridget. Llama, am I saying that right? Llama from Madison from the 608 says, I think Wicked has the most draw. Gladiator 2 is a sequel, even if it's not. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think, yeah. Look, I want to see both of them. I'm excited to see both of them. I think it'll be fun. I think this is a great weekend, though, because you've got, like, the movies that Conrad just mentioned, one of them, Christmas in, I don't have it.
Miller's Point.
Miller's Point with Michael Cera. There's another Christmas movie that came out last week.
Yeah. I almost went to see it.
Did you?
I almost did. Didn't go to it. But it looks interesting. It's the best Christmas pageant ever.
Yes. And of course, Red One opens this week. Yeah. And we learn that Dwayne Johnson pees in bottles.
he does.
Books himself a little tight and gets behind. Apparently, he's late every day on the movie set, but they don't care because they expect it because he's so busy. And it's not like he holds up production, although I'm sure he does sometimes, but it's forgivable because he's Dwayne Johnson. He's a draw, and he could probably crush you. So they look the other way. But he did admit it to peeing in bottles, like when he's in a hurry. I mean, if you are that busy that you can't take 30 seconds to go into a restroom, plus, have you ever tried to pee into a bottle when you're driving?
It's a little tough.
Most bottles are not the opening. You have to have, like, stellar aim. If you had a bump, forget about it. That new car smell is gone, baby. It's terrible. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I'm not surprised. He's kind of seems like a quirky guy. So it was interesting what Mike was saying about the Bears and the Packers. And the Packers have to be heavy favorites.
I actually haven't seen what the lines are looking like, but I'm assuming so because Eberflus is still as the coach.
Oh, he is so out.
So that's a negative.
I don't know one fellow Bear fan that wants anything to do with that guy. they're spiraling. They got to get rid. They've got to clean house again, and they just did it 3 years ago. Not even 3 years ago. They've got what's supposed to be a franchise quarterback. They're an absolute mess. And, you know, like what Mike was saying before, the rivalry is great because, like, the Mikowski win over the Bears, that's when they were still good. The Bears were a good team then. And then the Bears beat the Packers after Walter Payton died, I remember. The next game was a Bear-Packer game, and the Bears blocked a field goal. And then was it Favre night or whatever that was spoiled? The Bears won that one. So the Packers have won the last 10 games, though, but every once in a while, there's like a signature win in there, but it would be nice if both teams were better, especially my team. But
yeah, the Packers are favored, but it's not huge.
Really? What, do you know what it is? Because it's at Chicago.
It was at 5.
I'm surprised it's just 5. All right. When we come back, Susan Kaya Slusser is Kaya. Susan Kaya. I've been back and forth with Susan on her name today. Susan Kaya Slusser will be here from the Wisconsin Historical Society. It's going to be a great chat. Don't miss it. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.